James, chapter 4. What we're going to study today, I believe, happens far less here than it has in other Christian environments that I've been involved in, but I guess that's a good thing. Verse 11, chapter 4. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, this includes not just when you talk to somebody else, but it's when you just think it. When you judge somebody down for any reason, then you stop being you stop being a doer and you become a judge. And there is one judge, one lawgiver, that's God. Go to 1 Peter a minute. I'm as weak as a kitten.
You want some water?
No, I've got... Chapter 2, 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, we could go all over the place about judging another, but when you judge another, whether it's spoken, it's worse when it's spoken, but even thought without confessing it, then that sticks. And you start treating that person the same way you would if you had publicly said what you thought of them. Am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Because you've thought it internally.
If you've thought it, you've done it.
Yeah.
And so it's better if you're going to... if your mind is judging somebody else, it's better for you to say it. That you may, you know, we exhort one another daily while it is still called today, and that's a major place of exhortation. Now, and it is, does anybody, nobody here judges anybody, right?
Never. I don't like the way you said that.
Yeah, that's not true, obviously. But if you think it, do you say it?
Are you transparent? Not always. Not always. Not always.
What if the thought comes to your mind, but then you repent of it? That's not really thinking it.
No, because your mind can do nothing but judge. That's what it does. It judges and ranks.
It also can repent.
Huh?
Also,
what?
I'm
tired of this thing.
Well, I'm getting to that. The repentance is not for the sake of the body, as we are one. You need to say what you've repented of, and you need to say what you've done, and that you've repented of it, because that will help everybody else. Does that make sense?
Say it where?
Say it in whatever is so, normally in the Seder group.
We'd have such a long list if I had to do that.
Right.
Like crazy long.
Well, again, you can continue doing it internally, but then you're saying to God that you're not sure that this is the body, this is your place. Because You've got to see that everything that takes place, including the negative things, is for the benefit of the body. You lose sight of yourself. So if self does something that you think is, that you know is wrong, and you say, Father, forgive me, it's not benefiting the body. We are not alone. We are instead of I am. Our Father, which is art in heaven. And so that means that we are one, and if one is doing this, something like that, then it needs to be discussed and shared and repented, so that not just you, but it'll be the single signal for another person to repent of something they've been doing. Does that communicate? You don't have to go back in your whole life and confess who you've judged down, but you should start it today.
In the moment. That's where you start. Is just,
well, I know, but
if it comes to mind.
I know, but if it comes to mind and it isn't shared, then there's a problem.
You're having to dig it out.
I didn't hear what you said.
If it comes to mind and it isn't shared, then it becomes evil.
The condition where you can't go to the bathroom. I forgot what it's called.
I didn't hear what you just said.
What happens when you can't go to the bathroom?
Constipation.
Yeah.
And you're spiritually constipated.
Yeah. And that's true.
And you'll pile up a lot of dung if you keep it within yourself.
Yeah. It all sits right up here. Yeah. Just shit in your head.
Anybody? Can you see what I'm talking about? It's about us. It's not about me.
It's not.
What?
I can see what you're saying very much. But that's a tough one to.
Well, it's
basically be that transparent. Now I feel like I could burn in hell.
Well, all I'm asking you to do. Is starting today. If you judge somebody down, then I would ask you to confess it in the Seder group. Okay?
Is that somebody here?
Doesn't matter.
Anywhere in the world?
Well, you're judging him down.
What do you mean down? Negatively?
You can judge up all the time. That's easy for some. I'm not too sure judging up is any different, though, than if you really get down to it. Because then you're still in the process and business of ranking.
You're still looking at the person instead of
Christ in them.
Right.
Our job is to call forth that mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because if you continue silent, then it's not Christ. Christ is in you, but you're not in Christ. Christ, if he judged something, he said it.
And this is like one of the perils of Christianity, is people enter in and then think, here's how I have to act, and they create their idol of what Jesus would do. And then they emulate that idol. And they're fake people, and nobody likes them. And Christianity gets a bad name, and rightfully so.
It's always important that you recognize, again, the model of the first century church. It's about us, not about me.
I keep getting stuck in this, like, analyzing.
Do you know
it? That because of selfish motives. It seems right, but it's so exhausting.
Well, that's because you're not used to doing it. If it becomes as natural and as breathing for you not to judge somebody, then if you judge somebody, you find out, oh, I got to get rid of that. I got to talk about that. I mean, I'm talking about what the total fruit of the cross is, not what you're doing to get there. All I'm asking you to do is to see that if the body were healthy, that there would be no judging down without it being confessed openly. And that'll create wars. But that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to cause us to be as one. But it's, again, that's the position of in Christ, not just Christ in you.
Here's, in the name of transparency, I don't think this is what, this is not a to-do. You're not telling us how to be Christians here. If that's
I'm telling you that if you, yes I am.
Then I don't agree with you.
I know you don't, because you think your role is passive.
No, I don't. I think, well, maybe mine is, but God's is not. And I believe that his, this is what we talked about yesterday, the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. So we agree with this, but then if we set about to do it, then we're being or trying to be Christians.
Well, if you don't do it, you're a pagan.
You... I'm saying, do you hear
you're just saying? Another Gentile.
Okay.
What?
I just don't. You don't hear what I'm saying.
I do hear what you're saying.
The excellency of the power is of God, who is our life. We agree that judging is incorrect, but can we perform that? Is that not just?
If you don't, you repent.
Isn't it just another law that's laid on us?
No.
Then what is it?
It's the fruit of you being conformed into the image of Christ.
Fruit is the key word.
Fruit, but it only comes when it's repented of. It doesn't come when you just accept it. The power of God is released in repentance.
It also is released in agreement with who he is. It's
Everybody knows who he is. But there has to be repentance. That's what releases the power of God.
We agree on repentance, but I believe you're saying very strongly now about confession.
Confess your fault one to another that you might be healed.
Yeah. And that's, I guess that's a...
That's a to-do.
To-do.
Right? You used to tell us if we ever told us what to do, to shoot.
That's right.
Now you tell us what to do.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the fruit of you in Christ is.
Okay, I'll buy that. Fruit.
And if it's not there,
fruit
then it's
fruit.
To repent it of. You've got an enemy. The evil one is in your mind. He is your mind. The only way he can be defeated is by repentance.
I like confession here.
Confession is a part of repentance.
Yeah.
But you seem to have an idea that you're just passive and you wait for God to kick your ass. The scriptures kick your ass.
No, you seem to not understand what I'm saying, and that's why you say the things you say to me. There's
All right.
something that takes place between my lips and your ears that doesn't... There's no hearing of what I'm trying to say, that the Word of God is its own dynamic. How's that?
If
that's your words.
I know.
You taught that.
I know.
The Word of God is its own dynamic. And because of that, in our surrender and repentance, then that Word is, and it's not something that I have to do to make it happen. So if you call that passive, all right, that's passive. But in that passivity, in that rest, is what I would call it, God explodes and manifests himself.
The power of God is the preaching of the cross. Because the preaching of the cross condemns you if you're not in Christ. And if Christ isn't, everybody can agree Christ is in you. Christ is in the entire world, every man of the world. But ever and always, what releases the power of God is the preaching of the cross, where you can see that repentance is necessary. I've said that from the beginning. But if the preaching of the cross doesn't produce the power of God or release the power of God, then what's happened is repentance hasn't taken place in the hearer.
Are we confusing passivity with humility? Aren't there some similarities there?
Sure. Just didn't work a little bit.
Okay. All right, let's go on. Wherefore, in verse 13. Go back to James. I was in there, still in 1 Peter. Speak, again in verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? That's as big as it gets. What right do you have to judge another? If you do, it must be repented of. And that's a must. And continuing. And go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell or whatever and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor of smoke. It is even a vapor of smoke that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, boy, is that one. When I first saw all this, I said, this is not good. This is going to mess me up even more than I already was. And I don't think anybody that has ever seen me or known me knows that if I think it, I say it. That's what happened, is that the fruit of that battle that I had with God in the early years after conversion. It causes a lot of problems. But it's supposed to. You never have to think about what you never have to worry about what I'm thinking about. If I think it, I say it. As far as I know, maybe there's probably some times I didn't, but I don't remember any time I didn't. Now, I'm exhorting you to do the same. If you think it, you say it. That then there can be this exhortation among the brethren. Exhort one another daily. Well, it is still called today. Then each member of the body, in that openness and honesty, produces what's necessary for the rest of the people. And what you think may be darkness personified, to another it will be light. Please,
I have a question. With our fervent repentance, isn't the doer of the law the Holy Spirit in us?
Right. And he's one that's exhorting you to see that if something you've done is not according to this book.
And And I'm mad.
And therefore you repent.
And I'm out of the picture. So
then you keep repenting.
So I guess as long as I fervently repent when the Holy Spirit is a doer of the law, I don't have a to-do list, do I?
I promise you, the Holy Spirit's job is to cause repentance.
Okay.
He will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's his job. Of sin, whenever you don't believe on me. Of righteousness, the only righteousness, because I've gone to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world has been judged. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If you're not doing it, then you're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit.
That is very accurate.
Now that's John 16, if you want to look it up, what the Holy Spirit's job is. Is that clear to everybody? He will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, wherever you don't believe on him. Of righteousness, the only righteousness, he's gone to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged, and that's the only judgment permissible. Everything else is to be repented of. Amen?
Sometimes I have a hard time just differentiating if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's
the evil one.
Yes.
Well, then you never worry about it. It's always there. You don't sit and worry about that. You be, instead of trying to be.
I want to please the Lord, but I have this like religious...
Then let that come out. Then let that out.
What do you mean?
Say it.
What do you mean say it?
Whatever you think you should do and don't do it, say it.
Expose your
it's
religious self.
It's constant all day.
Then that's fine. Then expose that religion.
You're telling me you're doing this because you're selfish.
But that's what everybody does at the beginning.
Oh, they do this as normal.
Everybody does it.
It's really hard.
But that's why a body exists. So there's a place of confession and freedom.
Okay.
And so you finally come to this place where you find out, my God, my mind is the enemy. I never again have to pay attention to it. Your mind is the mortal enemy of everything that is of God.
But it sounds like something God might say.
If it sounds like it and it's not... That's why you exhort one another daily, but you'd exhort them to do what? To search the scriptures to see whether these things be true.
I just have so much religious junk in here I have to let go of, I guess.
Well... You let go of it all, but the point of it is you let go of this evil one. If you don't know by now that your mind is the evil one,
I know that.
Then if it's telling you something that the evil one thinks is good, then you know it's wrong.
How do I know what he thinks is good?
Because it came to you.
Huh?
Share it with somebody.
Share it.
Oh, okay.
Talk about it. That's what the brethren are here for.
Yeah.
It's really stupid stuff.
Well, that's what we deal with.
Okay.
You know, that's our specialty.
No, I'm serious. This is you can't believe when we first started this, what happened when this was preached.
Oh.
It was like the Third World War. Because everybody wanted to be right.
And everybody believes in a... If you only knew what I was thinking, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't care for me. You would hate me, and I wouldn't be loved. You know, that's we found out that's just not true. Okay? People don't like you when you're hidden, when you're withdrawn, when you're a secret. You know, then people don't like you, or they don't know you. But they don't care what you think or what you do.
Sure.
They need to know what you think. It's like Holy says, it stirs up And someone else, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't do that. I know what you're talking about. So now you've got fellowship. And this thing loses its power. It has power in the dark.
I'll give you an example. Like, if I say a joke or something, like, not, you know, just sometimes I say a joke, then I'll have this conviction or whatever. You're trying to draw attention to yourself.
Well, then
you're
just
staying
tell
alive.
That.
That's not being dead. I don't know how to die then.
You
is
it,
that
hear me?
Thinking?
It's almost impossible to die to self alone. And that's what, and alone, you're alone if you're not able and exhorted to let whatever is there out.
So what do you, is that my mind telling me that, or is that the Holy Spirit telling me that?
Just for right now, just bet it's your mind.
Oh, okay.
99% of it is your mind.
Okay.
Got a long road ahead of you.
Oh, boy. It's really, I'm like tired all the time.
Well, then you still haven't known the freedom that's in Christ.
No, I don't.
The evil one has turned it into bondage.
I understand.
And if you and you don't understand the joy of repentance.
And maybe you are trying to draw attention to yourself. So what? You know, why are you always guilty? Everything about you is I'm guilty of this, I'm
yes,
guilty of that.
That's my...
But there's no condemnation in him. So
amen. That's hard to understand.
All right, now we'll just open the door here on this one because we don't have time. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Just leave it there. And I promise you, everybody in this room is rich compared to what poverty really is. So we'll begin on that tomorrow. But I can't overemphasize this enough. From everything that I see in the scripture and from my own experience with this mystery of the walk, it's repentance that releases the power of God. That's your job. And there's thousands of scriptures that reveal that. The repentance, that's the fruit of the preaching of the cross.
That's where the answer is in the light. It's not in our paralysis of analysis.
Right.
That's my father's line. I'll give you credit for something.
All right, take it, big guy.